But I do want us to ask and hopefully answer one question this morning regarding what we've already talked about. And the question is this: what is it to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ? What does what we talked about this morning mean to you and to me? What is it to bow to the King? And first of all, we have to say this, because this is an answer that everyone here knows, but we live in a religious age in which this is so abused, and so there's so much error regarding this, that it behooves us to always emphasize it. To bow to the Lord Jesus Christ is to bow in your heart to Christ. You can bow on your knees every morning and every night, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can bow on your knees 50 times a day. But you can do that and never bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a bowing of the knee. And men do bow the knee repeatedly and often and religiously and never bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther walked up stone steps on his knees until they bled. And then one day he bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got up off of his knees. But in his heart he bowed to Christ. When the Lord revealed himself to him in that simple, clear passage of script, that verse of scripture, "The just shall live by faith." Martin Luther testified that the truth of that rang home in his heart, and he got up off of his knees and bowed in his heart to Christ, the King. You can bow the knee all day long and never bow to Christ, and sit in an easy chair and bow to Christ. It's a heart work. Secondly, to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ is to submit to His Word. We believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, that verse doesn't say Abraham believed in God. The devil believes in God, but the devil doesn't believe God. To believe God is more than just to have the opinion that what God says is right. It's to believe and agree and to love what He says. God says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And I say, "Truth, Lord. I'm a liar by nature, and You're true." That Syrophoenician woman that we mentioned this morning already, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It's not right for me to give you what you ask for." And she said, "You're right." That's bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ right there. It's to agree with His Word, no matter how offensive it is to this flesh. And it is. There is the offense of the cross. My flesh despises the cross. All flesh despises the cross. It is offensive to man that he can't do anything about his condition before God. Just tell somebody that and find out how offensive it is to them. There's nothing you can do to be saved. What do you mean? All I've got to do is walk down an aisle and this and that and that. No, you are shut up to Christ. That's what His Word says. Can you submit to that? Then you can bow to the Lord Jesus. To bow to Him is to agree with Him, no matter what He says. Peter said, "Lord," the Lord Jesus Christ said, "cast your net on this side of the ship." And Peter said, "Lord, we've been fishing all night. And we know quite a bit about fishing. Nevertheless, at Your word, we'll cast down the net." That's what I'm trying to say right there. Peter said it better than I could ever say it. At Your word, we'll cast the net on this side. To bow to the Lord Jesus Christ is to submit to His word. What thus saith the Lord, God said it, and that settles it in our mind and heart. That's submission to Christ. That's bowing before the King right there. And then thirdly, to bow before the King is to bow, as Shimei did, to his sovereign authority. My Lord the King, it's in your hands to do with me as you will. And that's all right with me. Now, God has the sovereign authority over every sinner. He said, shall not I do with my own what I will? Whether that sinner bows to him or not, we don't make Christ Lord. People talk about, well, you need to make Jesus Lord. No, God the Father already beat us to that. He is Lord, whether we submit to him or not. He has the sovereign authority to do with his creation what he will, whether we submit to it or not. But by his grace, we do submit to it. I'm in your hands, Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Even if it's the man that said those words, God had killed his children for being rebels against his word and his authority. He said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. That's bowing before the King. He's on the throne, and I'm absolutely okay with that. That doesn't happen by nature. As we talked about this morning, our crime against God is that we will be God. And we will cast him off of his throne and do away with him. We are God murderers. The fool hath said in his heart, not there is no God, but I will have no God. I'm not interested in a God. I'm already my own God. But when grace comes, John said, I looked into heaven and behold a throne, and one sat upon the throne, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't you, and we're okay with that now. That's bowing before the King. My Lord and my God, you may despise him and hate him and show your contempt toward him. Everything that I am and I have committed unto him. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. As for me and my house, we will serve who? Not sweet Jesus. We will serve the Lord. He is our King and our God and our Sovereign. And we bow to him absolutely willingly, with all of our heart. And whatever he says, that's our rule of life. We don't need a confession of faith. He's already given us one. Everything he says is our rule of life. It's to bow to his sovereign authority. Romans 9:15. You could probably quote this verse, but let's look at this, and may God impress it upon our hearts this morning. For God said to Moses, and he said to every one of us, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It is at his discretion to have mercy upon you or not to have mercy upon you. Are you okay with that? You better be glad it's not up to me whether mercy is yours or not. And I'm glad it's not up to you. I wouldn't give anybody mercy but myself. And neither would you. But God is plenteous in mercy. And he gives it at his discretion. And so it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's what Shimei acknowledged. Don't impute my sin to me. Have mercy on me. It's your right and your discretion, your power, to make that decision. We're fine with that. That's God's right. And we just pray like that woman did, just a crumb, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But it's his crumb, and I'm his dog. And I wouldn't have it any other way. That doesn't happen naturally. Grace comes and causes that attitude. And that's what it is to bow before the king. Now let's bring it home a little bit more. My children, speaking in earthly terms, there's nothing more precious to me than my children. I will teach them everything I know to teach them about God and about Christ and how God saves a sinner. I'll do everything I know to do to help them. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for them. Nothing. But it is in God's sovereign hands to either save them or damn them at His good pleasure. And you know something? I'm absolutely pleased about that. Because I know that He will do what's right. And I know that He is plenteous in mercy. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, and He doeth all things well. He has mercy on sinners in Christ, and so I have hope for my children because I know that God delights to show mercy. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have that decision, that discretion in any other hands but His. I absolutely bow to Him in that, and I know you do too. Fourthly, it is to bow to His righteous claims upon us as His creatures. And this is similar to number three. We bow to His sovereign will and right to do with His own what He will, but we also bow to His righteous claims upon us, and this has more to do with His law. God expects obedience to His law. He demands it, and He expects it, and He'll have it. He won't have it from you because we're not able to render it. But every man will give an account before God regarding God's law. When I give account before God for my relationship with His law, my absolute plea before Him is the righteousness of another, because I know that I have broken His law and despised it, and I can never do anything about that. But somebody did. And my hope before God is that, as Shimei's, don't impute it to me, Lord. Impute it to my substitute, and have mercy on me, if You will. There ain't no doubt about whether You can or not, but if You will, have mercy on me and my children. But everybody will give account. God's law will be honored, or there will be payment. There will be restitution for despising God's law and spitting in His face. Every sin must be punished and shall be punished. And we bow to that. The psalmist said, Lord, you are clear when You judge me, David said. You are clear of any wrongdoing in judging me. If You throw me in hell, You're right to do that. And I bow to that. I bow to His righteous claims upon me. He expects obedience from me. And I'll either pay for my disobedience or my substitute has done so. One of the two. Everybody's accountable to God. And we submit to that. And then, and this leads right into number five, because if God impresses upon us this number four, His righteous claims upon us and our absolute inability to meet those claims, to satisfy those claims, then we bow to Him in this sense. We bow to the Lord Jesus Christ in His substitutionary, redemptive character. In other words, we say God's way of salvation is by the righteousness and blood of a substitute, and I absolutely submit to that. I submit to His way. How does God save a sinner? By the righteousness and blood of a substitute, by the cross, by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to that. That's what that priest was saying in the Old Testament when he leaned upon the head of the scapegoat. He put his hands on the head of the scapegoat and leaned his weight upon that goat. And when he did that, he was saying many, many things, but one of the things he was saying was this: I submit to God's way of salvation. It's not by my works. I'm not going to excuse my sin, and I'm not ever going to be able to make up for it. But there's the scapegoat. This is God's way of saving sinners. This is God's means of making a way of fellowship and communion with God for sinners. Salvation is through a substitute, and I submit to that. I obey Him in that. And I bow to the Lord Jesus Christ in that and own Him as my hope before God. His blood and righteousness. And then lastly, it is to bow in absolute allegiance to Christ. To bow to the Lord Jesus Christ is to say, everything that I am and everything that I have is yours. I pledge my allegiance to King Jesus without reservation, without compromise, and without any hesitation whatsoever. He is my King, and what I am and have is His. I am absolutely willing and desirous to spend and be spent in His service. That's bowing to the King. And everybody that bows to Him in one of these things bows to Him in all of these things. We don't pick and choose. It is an absolute surrender of ourselves, our very soul. What Paul was saying when he said, I've committed unto Him. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. What have you committed to Him, Paul? My life, my soul, my body. He said in Romans 12 that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service to do that. Bowing before the King is to do that. Lord, everything that I am and everything that I have, I commit to You. Use me as You see fit. He doesn't need me. He can get on just fine without me. But Lord, don't do that. Use me. Tell me, what would You have me to do, Paul? Saul of Tarsus said on that road to Damascus. And again, that change of attitude that we saw in Shimei. Saul of Tarsus was on that road to go kill God's children. He was the sworn and avowed and great enemy of Christ. And then in an instant, he's on his face before Him saying, You name it, and I'll do it. That's bowing before the King. You know, say the word and give me the grace to do it, and it's done. It's done. That's what it is to bow before King Jesus. And as we know, and as we often quote and acknowledge, every knee shall bow to Him. It is every sinner's place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord, whether we own Him as Lord or not. And every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. My advice and my prayer and my hope for everyone here is to come and bow before Him. You'll find that He's a merciful King. Many of us, I don't know anybody's heart in this place. I don't know your hearts, and I have no way of finding out. But I know this, if you have bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have found Him to be gracious and merciful and kind and long-suffering. You have found him to be one who delights to show mercy. And if you have not bowed to him, you shall find him so. You'll find that he receiveth sinners. He eats and drinks with sinners. He loves sinners. He gave himself for sinners. If you bow at his feet, you'll find him so. I preached this message one time, or a similar one, several years ago. And someone said afterwards, made this comment, a sinner doesn't have to beg God to save him. God is anxious to show mercy. Let me be your friend this morning. God is not so anxious to show you mercy that he won't bring you to the dust first. He is not so anxious to clothe you that he won't first strip you of your robe of self-righteousness. I'll tell you who God is anxious to show mercy to: beggars. He is anxious to show mercy to those who bow at his feet, because he's caused them to come and bow. He does delight to show mercy, and he's anxious to show mercy, but he delights to show mercy to beggars. I recommend being a mercy beggar at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not be disappointed. Bowing before the King, may God give me the grace, not only with my soul in matters of salvation and grace, but in all of my life and in all of my dealings and all of my decisions, in every aspect of my life, to bow at his feet and acknowledge his sovereign will and pleasure in all things, and submit to that will and pleasure. And having submitted to it, doing that will and pleasure with all of my heart and with every ounce of strength that he gives me to do it. There is a King in Israel, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow to him? Will you submit to his word? At thy word, grace flows from his lips, and we submit to what he says. It's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to a dog like you. Truth, Lord, truth. But if you will, you can. Ah, to submit to him in his word, to submit to his sovereign authority over us. What aspect of your life do you think you're more qualified to determine than God Almighty? People say, well, I'm my own man. I'm going to live my own life. Well, you don't know what's good for you. You don't know how to live your life. The decisions that we make, we submit to his will. Lord, show us what to do, or we'll inevitably do the wrong thing. And, of course, in salvation, Lord, if you can, you will. If you save my children, Lord, have mercy on my children. If you will, you can. We submit and are absolutely pleased to do so. And we bow to God's way of saving a sinner. The only hope for you and I and anybody on this earth is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and bow to his lordship and to bow to his redemptive work and say, that's my hope before God. In my hands, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's to bow to him in his substitutionary redemptive character. And then we bow in allegiance to him. Lord, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, what would you have me to do? And give me the grace to do it and to get out of the way of it, to not inject my own self-righteousness into it and my own will. We've given up our will. We defer to His will in all matters. And that's what it is to bow before the King. Thank God that He's brought us to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better place for a sinner to be than at His blessed feet. Let's bow in prayer this morning. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for breaking our wills and our hearts and causing us to acknowledge Your sovereign authority over us and Your saving grace. Thank You for taking the crown off of our heads like You did Job and putting us in the dust before the Lord Jesus Christ where mercy is found. And thank You for that mercy, Lord, and the price that bought it for us of His precious blood. Lead us, Lord, rule us. You are our sovereign King. And by Your grace, we would do Thy will. But we are absolutely dependent upon Thy strength and guidance and wisdom in order to do so. Bless us and use this church for Your sovereign glory. In Christ's precious name and for His sake, amen.